Okay, welcome to part six of Hilchas Borer. Let's just review what we did last week. Last week we pointed out that if you wanted to sort your dishes, or let's be more specific, your silverware after they're in the dishwasher, you can't just take one out at a time and decide what to do with it and put it in its appropriate location, but you could take it out of the dishwasher to dry it off, to rinse it off or something like that, and then once you did some other purpose other than sorting, meaning like drying it off, you'd be able to put it in the appropriate place where you want. Already a question. Yeah. The dishes are 100% a mixture in my mind. Therefore, you could certainly take them out to set the table. And if you want to sort them, if you want to put them in the away, if they're all, let's say you have, like in my dishwasher, we have, let's say, the small ones go on top and the big dishes go on the bottom. Let's say the whole row of dishes are all big dishes, so there's no sorting. So I would say you could take that whole row of dishes, because that would not be a tarovis of different meaning, and take them all and put them up. If you have all the cups here and all the plates there, I also don't think that would be a tarovis. But if you have plate, cup, big dish, small dish, I think that would be a tarovis. And therefore you could take what you need to set the table now, but if you're not having any more meals, you want to put it back in the closet, I think that would be a problem. Okay. Yeah. You're saying that those little two prongs of metal that hold them up. I don't think that's considered a different compartment. I think that's just to sort of hold them vertically so that they could wash better. I think that would be a tarovis nevertheless. Okay, so then we talked last week about pouring out of a pot. We said if you want to pour, if there's liquid on top of the soup and you want to just pour out the liquid that you do want, or the liquid that you don't want. Either way, it's fine, because right now the liquid is on top that's not mixed with anything. And therefore, you could take ochel from psoles, psoles from ochel. Only once you get to the lower half of the pot of soup, where there's the liquid mixed with the vegetables, then we have to decide what you want. You can pour out the liquid if you want liquid. But if you only want the vegetables, so you're not going to be able to pour out the liquid, because that would be psoles mitocha ochel. Then, the main thing we talked about last week was the heter of removing, when you want to take off something bad, some garbagey part that's attached to something else, we suggested the solution would be that most poskim agree to, although the Chazanish does not allow this, but most other poskim agree that you can take off part of the good, I'm sorry, take off the bad with a little bit of good connected or touching or next to it, and that will solve the solution. Because what are you taking off? You're taking off, not the psoles, you're taking off the tarovis itself. Meaning right now you have a big piece with some small garbage attached to it. By taking off the garbage plus the part of the big piece, you take off the whole tarovas, that's not separating psoles from ochel. So we have, I'll just list off the examples. When you take a bug out of the soup, you take it out with some liquid. You want to take a bone out of the chicken or the fish, you could take it off with some meat on it. If you want to rip off the lettuce where there's a bug, make sure there's some good lettuce that you're ripping off with it. If you want to cut a piece of rotten fruit off the fruit of the vegetable, cut off some good fruit with it. If you have fat on the perimeter, especially deli meats, so you could cut off a little bit of the meat to take off the fat. Similarly, the peach or plum pit, you could pick them out with, that's a little bit more complicated, we'll talk about that later, but in general, this will be mutter, but there is a, we'll talk later about peach and plum pits. You can take off a peach pit or a plum pit, say that quickly five times, with some of the flesh on it. You could pour the whey off the top of your liquidy yogurt with a little bit of your yogurt. You could slice off the tag on the challah, the Angel's Bakery challahs that we talked about last week. You could slice off a piece of challah with the tag, and you could skim off the fat off the top of your super meatballs with a little bit of the soup or a little bit of the gravy. That will all be permitted, according to everybody except the Chazanish. Then we talked about the last point, was a discussion, what happens if you want to, we saw that there was an opinion that, I don't know if we passed it like this, but there is an opinion that we're going to have to know about for later, maybe next week, Let's say we know that while you're eating, during the actual act of eating, you're allowed to do Borer. Meaning, if it's Derech Achila, what's Derech Achila? In my mouth, I have my watermelon and my pits already. So I'm allowed to take the pits out of my mouth, of course. You're firm enough to not separate the pits beforehand. You put it already in your mouth, you can take out the pits from your mouth. That has to be said because, truthfully, you are doing Borer, aren't you? When you eat fish and you put the fish with the bone in your mouth, when you take out that bone, you are doing Solas Mitocha Ochel. Nevertheless, it's still permitted because that's Derech Achila. That's what we talked about. And we said there was one opinion who says that even if it's in your hand, not in your mouth, you're still allowed to separate the Psolas Mitocha Ochel. According to that opinion, you are allowed to take out the watermelon pits while it's still in your hand, before it's in your mouth. Because according to this opinion, it's while you're eating it, it's in the process of eating it, it's in your hand, even though it hasn't yet reached your mouth. So therefore, if you happen to see, for example, somebody, let's say you go somewhere and they serve you deep-pitted watermelons. Not edible seed watermelon, but deep-pitted. That means that before you came, the lady of the house took not her fingers, of course, but took some kind of, let's say, the point of a butter knife and took out all the pits from your watermelon. So are you allowed to eat that? Are you allowed to get hana'ah from her Chil Shabbos? So we learned last year in Hilchos Bishul that whenever there is any opinion that permits you to do something, even if we don't pass them like that, even if we're normally machmir, if there's any opinion who permits something, l'chatchila, then if it was done, you're allowed to derive benefit from it, b'di'evet. So here, since there is at least an opinion who does allow you to take the pits out of the watermelon, at least if it's right before eating, I shouldn't say if she prepared it before the meal, but if she prepared it right before, as you're about to eat it, again, it doesn't apply because it has to be like while it's in your hand. If while it's in your hand, whoever's standing next to you took out the pits, you are allowed to get benefit from it because there was an opinion that permitted it, and therefore, but even though if we might not be making ourselves to take watermelon pits from while it's in our hand, but in such a case, it would be permitted. That was all last. Any questions about the review? Great. Yes. I forget which one of my children. They thought it was too much of an inconvenience to separate the seed from the shell. So they just crunched and ate the whole thing, and that's just how they do it, because it's just a lot more convenient and a lot less painstaking. You know, it's easier. But for the rest of us, when you talk about shells on the outside of something, there's a different issue that we're going to talk about when we talk about klipos, not the Kabbalistic kind, but the vegetable kind. That will be either the end of next week or in 2 weeks, and that's going to be that if you're only able to access the food by going through this external klipa peel, then you're permitted to take off the klipa, because you can't access what's underneath them unless you get rid of what's on the outside. So that's going to be a little bit of a different story. But for example, if you are my son who does what I just described, so of course once it's in your mouth and you have shells and garin seeds in your mouth, you could of course take out the shells. That's derech achila. Okay, now let's begin. Let's talk about, this is a good kula, actually. Let's continue talking about watermelon. Ramosha Feinstein has in his Shas HaTshuvos books, he divides his Shas HaTshuvos based on which part of Shulchan Aruch the tshuva relates to. So in Orach Chaim, he has four different versions. Four different volumes of Orach Chaim. The way he wrote his Shas HaTshuvos is he published one sefer. In that sefer, he had, let's say, whatever discussion he has about Orach Chaim, then a discussion about Yoredeya, a discussion about Chosha Mishpat, all in one volume. Then the next volume that he printed a few years later, same thing. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. And in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet, he has one tshuva Ayin Dalet. And in this tshuva, I think these were questions that Rav Shimon Eider, Zechron of Bracha, who wrote those halachas of series, halachas of Pesach, halachas of the 3 weeks, halachas of Hanukkah, halachas of just about everything. So Rav Shimon Eider asked him about 80 to 100, 150 questions, and they're all really good questions that are all like halacha l'maisa. So when we gave our Bishul Shiurim, we must have quoted that specific tshuva about 15, 20 times. So it's the first time we're quoting it in this context in Hilchos Bishul. But the question was, what about watermelons? And listen carefully. When you want to serve a child, you want to give a baby a piece of watermelon. So there, when I eat a watermelon by myself, so of course I could take the bite of watermelon and, you know, when no one's looking too carefully at my mouth, I could, you know, afterwards spit the watermelon pit into my, you know, my fist, my hand. But let's say you give it to a kid, the kid is not going to be able to do that. So are you not able to give your child watermelon with fits? Or you just have to hope that they don't grow watermelons in their tummy? That's always a big concern. So Moshe Feinstein says that if there's no other way for you to eat it without taking it, without removing the pits, and it's immediately before, not before the meal, but immediately before the achila, for example, you're giving it to a child, first try to shake off whatever you'll shake off, and if whatever pits are embedded that will not shake off, you are permitted on Shabbos to scoop out those pits and then give it to a child if there's no other way for you to do it. So halach l'maisa, if you are eating watermelon yourself, of course you'll spit out the pits. But if you're going to feed it to a child, you could take out the pits, whatever you weren't able to shake off, and hand the seedless, not because it grew seedless, but because you made it seedless, that watermelon to a child. No. Taking out the pits itself. Similarly, let's say you have a piece of salmon, especially towards, if I'm not mistaken, the pieces towards the tail of the fish, a little more bony. Let's say it's not a fillet, but it's a regular piece of fish. And there are bones. Now, sometimes there are big bones, the center bone of the fish, you could just sort of deal with that. That you could do before you give to a baby. But sometimes the tiny little bones embedded in the fish. If you give the baby a piece of fish, you can't take out the fish from the bones. The only way to do it is to take out the bones from the fish. Again, since it's direct, it's as the baby is going to eat, as not the baby, the child, anyone under, you know, 7, 8, 9 probably needs help, maybe even 10. You can take those little bones out of the fish. Mamish, solus mitocha ochel, because since it's immediately being consumed, not just miyad, it's derech achilas, as you're eating it, and this is the only way that the child will be able to eat it, is if you debone it, you are permitted to actually take out the bones, take out that psoles from the fish. Now, let's talk about cantaloupes. This is my favorite kula that I saw all season. So you have a cantaloupe here. Oh, what?
It's still early.
It's still early in the season, but cantaloupes are very exciting. Okay, so cantaloupes. Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. Cantaloupes, he says, first of all, am I the only one here who's been troubled by what to do with cantaloupes? Especially when, like, there are those three stubborn little cantaloupe seeds that won't come off. And, like, it's like, do you have to control? It's like, there's like that instinctive urge to just, you know, especially if you're serving somebody else like yourself, you could deal with it, but you don't want your guests to have, like, those little two or three little things. Like, are you doing something? Is this your Yetzer Hara talking to you? Is it your Yetzer Tov talking to you? Not really sure. I struggle with this. I don't know about you. But now, Baruch Hashem, my struggles are somewhat assuaged. So Moshe Feinstein says in the same shuv, he says, cantaloupes. And what does he call them? Listen to this. Avatiach Tzahov. I like that name. No? What?
They're yellow ones. Is that what he's talking about?
No, because in the Shaila it says in parentheses, cantaloupe. So I know that that's what it means. So cantaloupes, he says that first you should try to shake it off. You take this piece of cantaloupe and you shake it. So I think the best thing to do is, let's say you cut the cantaloupe in half. If you shake it before you cut it in half, it's not going to help because it's closed. If you cut your cantaloupe in half, you have that a half a cantaloupe with that puddle of stuff in the middle. Try to shake it vigorously. And whatever comes off, comes off. After that, if you could spit it out while you're eating, Rav Moshe Feinstein, listen carefully because it's going to be a little bit, there are going to be two shittos here. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, try to spit it out in the same way you spit out watermelon seeds. if you can't spit them out, or I guess it's just going to be too, I don't know, people around you won't, either a child doesn't know how to, won't know how to do it, or people around you will get grossed out or something, then you can remove them if you need to. Push them away. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, is even more makel than Rav Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, there's no tarovas. There's no tarovas here. It's not like a watermelon where the pit is embedded into the flesh of the watermelon. Here, there's a little pit sitting on top of a piece of, sitting on top of your piece of watermelon, and therefore, sitting on top of your piece of cantaloupe, and therefore, you should, well, he says, the ones that at least come off easily, you should just, you know, you could remove even with your hands. It's not even a tarovas, the ones that come easily. And he says, even the few little kernels, the few little seeds that are left, he says, since they're not attached, they're not mechuber, they're just resting on top, and you don't have to, you know, do anything careful when you get rid of them, there's no iser brera, and therefore, just, you know, wipe them off. So therefore, even though Rav Moshe Feinstein is a little bit more machmir, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, which way you want to go, that's your choice, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, is mekel, he does not consider it a tarovas, and he is mekel to wipe off those extra cantaloupe seeds. So what I would suggest is when you open up a cantaloupe, first try to vigorously shake it, then if you want to be machmir, you know, eat them like a watermelon, and whatever those tiny pieces that are left, eat them as spit it out. If not, then maybe try to shake, you know, remove them in some way that's a little bit dupashine, so even maybe Rav Moshe would be okay with it. Yeah. No. Once you remove it with a cantaloupe, that would have been mutter even without you coming to my shir. I'm telling you to do it even without having to cut away from your cantaloupe. Well, usually that whole middle section, even though there's some sweet part to it, that whole middle section usually people throw out. So it probably won't sell it. So if you'll take away some of the good part, that's mutter. Even, you know, even before you came tonight, that would have been a hetter that you would know. And tonight we're learning that even if you don't take off any of the good part, you just get rid of the seeds, Rav Shlomo Zalman would still permit you to just push those seeds away. That is correct. That is correct. As long as it's adjacent to the meal, as long as it's within, you know, in your preparation for the meal, that is correct. Thank you. Even if it's not while you're actually eating it, as we mentioned earlier. Okay, so that was a good kula, a good cantaloupe kula. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bidei Dvaro. Okay, so once we mentioned the kula, we should make sure we have a chumrah for you tonight also. But I have to get back to you about this, but let's at least start the conversation now, because I spoke to Rav Schechter, and he said maybe there's a way around this, but the poskim do bring down both the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and the Sefer Orchas Shabbos, both bring down and assume that it's obvious that it's aser. When you open up a can of tuna, I still have to figure out how to do this. When you open up a can of tuna fish, what's your psolas, what's your ochel? So who likes drinking, we went through this last week, who likes drinking the oil from the tuna fish cans? Fine. So that makes none of us. And who likes eating tuna fish? We all like eating tuna fish. So that means your ochel is your tuna fish and your psolas is the oil. So how should you separate them when you want to separate them? The only way that halacha should allow that is if you take the tuna fish out of the, if you take the tuna fish out of the oil and not take the oil out of the tuna fish. So all the the post can write that you can't, therefore can't pour out, pouring out is removing, pour out the oil from the tuna can or the sardine can. No one here eats sardines, right? No. You have to be at least like 45 to eat sardines, I think. No offense to anybody under 45 who eats sardines, but just... So this is... I don't know. I'm not sure if people do this or not, but like when you're making shalash shudas and you're opening up a can of tuna fish, we're not learning the halachas of opening cans. So you'll open it halfway, you'll throw it out right away, whatever the deals with opening cans are. But usually people spill out the oil.
So the only thing that I could think of why that would be okay, again, the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says it's not okay, and the Aruch HaShabbos says it's not okay. So one thing that I'm thinking of now is that if you spill out, you know, 9/10 of the oil, we saw that if you leave a little bit of something, maybe that's not considered doing bora. For example, let's say you had that, let's say you have that something on top of your, let's say you have a, the discussion, the case that we had was that the Mishnah Berurah talked about the cream on top of the butter. You got all the details. I didn't have everything, you know. You also changed your seat, so you're making life difficult for me. So you have the cream on top of the butter. If you lift off the cream and don't get all the cream off, even if you don't want the cream, but since you're leaving a little bit of the cream behind, that would be okay. Here, I don't. That would that work if you pour off the oil, but you leave, let's say, a little bit of the oil in the container? The problem that might still have is that when you have the cream on top of the butter, where's the tarovis? The tarovis is not in the cream. The tarovis is at that point of juncture where the cream and the butter meet. That's where there's a tarovis. The top cream is not a tarovis. It's the cream where it meets. So therefore, if you leave that place of in that place, that vertex, that juncture point, that point of meeting, then you're not separating anything, because what you took off was not a tarovis. As opposed to here, the oil is me'urav with the whole tuna fish. So here you are doing a brera from something that is a tarovis, and you're right, you didn't finish the job. There's still more to do. That just means you did partial tarov, partial bora, which I think the Bavli assumes is a problem. So we have to think about Rabbi Shechter. I spoke to last week. He wasn't in the base manager today. I wasn't able to clarify it with him today. He would thought of some other heter maybe, but this is something that we're going to have to think about because we all eat tuna fish with shalosh shittos. Yeah. Right. So I think that's a case. Let's say you have. We talked about this case two or three weeks ago. If you have a bowl with apples and kiwis, I think we said, and you don't like kiwis because they're fuzzy and they freak you out, so you want to remove all the kiwis. And you remove 9/10 of them. Is that mutter? That's not mutter. Why not? Because, again, this is machlokas, the Talmud Yerushalmi against the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli says it's a problem. Because even though you didn't achieve your goal of getting rid of all the kiwis, you still did an act. The act that you did was an act of borer. You did an act of separation. So here too, even though you're right, there is some oil left, but whatever what you did was take out oil, which was what you wanted to get rid of.
So then, what would happen if, here's an example, what would happen if you were to take the entire can of tuna fish and put it into a large jug, you fill that jug with oil. So you have tuna fish on the bottom and oil on the top. That example of that chicken soup, could you then just take off all of the oil on top?
That's if there's no tarovis. You're talking the case of the chicken soup was that there's different. There's the top half of the pot is just liquid. There's no tarovis there, so you could pour it off however you want, whether you want it, you don't want it. But the bottom half, where there's a mixture of liquid and vegetables or milk and chicken, there's a tarovis. So then you have to worry about ochel mitoch hapsolas. But the case that we have, the oil and the tuna is all mixed, like it's all inter, it's all urav at all the heights of the tuna can. Yes, you could take the tuna out. I don't know how many people do that. Yeah? Canned corn, we talked about it, I think. I just don't remember what we said. Canned corn. Yeah, we said you have to take the corn out. That's right.
Then why is this even a different conversation?
Unless you pour out a little bit of the corn as you're pouring it out, if you don't mind if some corn goes to the garbage. You know, some corn goes to the bottom of the sink, that would be okay if you let some corn fall out. So I guess the solution could be, if you do want to let some tuna fall out and lose a little bit of tuna, assuming some pieces of tuna, some clumps of tuna fall out, that would also be okay. Yeah. That's a great question. If you just lift the tuna out with your hand, or with a fork, for that matter, and let the...
Wouldn't that be
be like a kli. So let's talk about your hand. I'm not sure. That we'll talk about next week. Let's talk about your hand. Joanna wants to talk about using it with your hand. Joanna likes it with your hand. Right? Is that what you're saying?
No,
you're doing it with your hand.
The fork is an extension of your hand.
Okay.
For hygienic purposes.
So that we'll have to talk about next week. So let's say you take it out with your hand, and then you let the oil drip out. So is that okay? I have to think about that. That might be. I have to think about that.
It's not any different than the corn that you were saying.
Meaning you stick your hand into the corn and Joanna, you always come up with the best. Okay, so we're going to have to think about tuna fish. I just wanted to start the conversation. You'll follow up with me and, you know, it's all. I'm telling you, it's going to happen to every single one of you. All of a sudden, you probably haven't eaten tuna fish in like 7 months, and you'll see this Shabbos afternoon, your roommate is going to make tuna fish for you, and it's going. You're going to freak. Okay, fine. Next scenario. Next scenario. While we're in the context of leaning over the sink, we're all leaning over the sink right now, pouring out all the different things we're pouring out. Let's say you don't want to do any tarovis. Let's say you have your Friday night soup. And you, yeah, question before we touch.
Tuna?
Yeah.
Is there any problem with just like taking the whole tuna can and just like tipping it over and then like sort of letting the liquid?
You're gonna put your tuna can, turn the tuna can, put it on top of a plate?
Yeah, and then just let the liquid just sort of spread out and wipe that off. Okay, so my tuna will be a little.
I don't know if I'd wipe it off.
Well, once it spreads to like.
Then it's no longer mu'urah, so we're gonna talk about that's the next topic. Could you scatter things?
Let's wait
a minute for that.
Then it's more like the natural.
I could talk about it now, but then I'd be confused in a minute when I get to the next topic. So we'll wait a minute. We'll talk about it in a minute. Let's say I finished my soup Friday night. So I have a soup pot. What's left on the bottom of your soup pot? A little bit of liquid and a little bit of solid. Right? Whatever's left, whatever no one ate. There's always a little bit left. Now what happens when you pour that down the sink? Well, the liquid is going to go down the drain, and all the solids will stay up on top. So what did you effectively do by pouring whatever was left into the sink? You effectively did a borer with a kli, solus mitocha ochel. That's about as asur d'oraisa as you could get, right? Yes, that is right. So the Shemir Shalas Kilchasa says that it is permitted to pour garbage into the sink, even though the liquids are going to go down the drain and the solids will stay in the strainer, in the drain thingy. And he gives five different svaras. One of them is like Hudi said that you're not separating between ochel and psoles. It's psoles and psoles. And there's only the halachas of borer only apply when there's an ochel and a psoles. In other words, when there are two minim. But everything is the same min. What's the definition of min? I guess here. It's all psoles. Once it's going in the garbage, it's all like one min. There's no problem being borer psoles mitocha psoles. He says another svara. He says, what's your goal? Is your goal to separate anything? No, your goal is not to separate anything. You'd be very happy if everything would just go down. It's not going to go down because it doesn't fit there. You just want to get rid of it. So there's no intention to do any separation here. That's another svara. Then he gives another svara, which is very interesting application. The very first week that we discussed borer together, we learned that borer does not apply. If you have one min, some things are big and some things are small, you are permitted to separate big from small. Because that's borer within one min. It's only prohibited to be borer one min against from a different min. But if you have one min, you just want to take out all the small ones because they're not appropriate to serve to your fancy guests. That's totally permitted. If you don't want the kids to touch the good, you know, the cookies that are bigger, you want to leave them for your guests, you only want your kids to eat the small cookies. So you could, I'm sorry, the opposite. Let's say you want to take out all the small cookies so that you'll give it to your kids later. You could do that. You could take out all the small cookies and give them to your kids later and leave just the big cookies. Why? Because size is not a determining factor when it comes to borer, only different minim. And here, once we assume that what's the difference between a solid, you know, the vegetables and the liquid? You know, from a certain, you know, looking at it from a certain perspective, you could say all that's different is that one is bigger and therefore not going to go down the drain, and the molecules of liquid are broken apart, they're smaller, it's just they will go down the drain more easily. That's another svara. So either way, he has a few other svaras, and halacha l'maisa, it is permitted, therefore, to pour your garbage down the sink, even though some will go down and some will be kept by the strainer. Yeah. Great question. Great question. Meaning, let's say you really want to separate it. Let's think about that. Let's say you want to pour down the liquid in the sink, and you don't want to stuff up your sink, so you're going to pour out the liquid, so the liquid goes out. And then what is left will be the solids, and that you're going to pour in the garbage can. Sure, that's very halach l'maisa. So if the liquid was suspended above the area of the solids, so there's no tarovis, like we mentioned earlier, you could pour out the liquid and be left with the tarovis on the bottom. But if you're going to pour out all the liquid, or the liquid and the solids are suspended in the same height, and you're going to pour out the liquid, so you're pouring out what you don't want. You don't want either of them. That's a really good question. I'd like if you could email me this week to follow up on that. I'd appreciate that. Yeah, that could be based on the svaras that we're saying that it's all, you're not separating between minim at this point. It's all psolas and psolas. Or you could even save me some time and call Rabbi Pollack and let me know what he says. Wonderful person. Big Talmud Chacham. He wakes up at like 4:30 in the morning to learn. It's incredible. Okay. Hold one more thing and then I'll take your question. If you've ever seen me come, if you've ever been here by like 8:36, when I usually come around then, and I come and I go back there and there's this big key ring from the guard, and I have to find the key that opens up the microphone system. So there are 30 keys. What do you do when you try to get the key that you need? You push away all the keys that you don't need. Right? So that's exactly what the Orchaz Shabbos says, that even though you are pushing away what you don't need, the keys that you don't need to get to the key that you do need. If you just find the key that you need, that's of course meta. But here, even though you're pushing away the keys that you don't need, yes, Jana, that's correct. Since the keys are being kept in this mixture, on this key ring, it is permitted to push away the keys that you don't need to be able to access the key that you do need, or just for fun. You want to push away the keys you don't need just for fun. Just because it's mutter, you could do that also. However, if you want to take off a key that you don't need and remove it from the ring, that's removing it, that's really removing it and separating it, that would be us to do on Shabbos. So if you want to go through your key rings, Shabbos is not the time to go through them. Yeah, question and question.
So just two things. One about the key thing you just mentioned. Why is a key ring even considered
a tarovis?
It's an order.
I'll tell you why. You're asking, why is it different than taking a sefer off the shelf? I'm allowed to take a sefer off the shelf if it's labeled, clearly. But I'm not allowed to take one ring. Why? But I can't take a ring out of the key ring? I think the answer is that keys are not labeled and so clearly independently distinguishable. When I look at the shelf, I see a Shulchan Aruch Chelek Beis and a Gemara Kiddushin and a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Vav, and it says it's clearly, it's labeled. But when I have a key ring, they're not labeled. If there's a name on every key, they're labeled with whatever label and they're different color-coded, then you could argue, but I still don't know if they're not neatly stacked one next to the other like a safer.
I just feel like when you're taking off the key, like that's different than just like pushing it aside, because then it's still on the they're still all together.
So if they're still attached, it's mutter.
Right.
To take them off would be a problem.
The garbage is mutter. The second one you said where like it's not your goal. Is that unique to that scenario? Like to where like, oh well, I didn't mean to cook on Shabbos. It's not my goal. I just want to eat it up. It happens to be boiling. Like we don't say like.
That is correct. If you do something that objectively is defined as a maisa iser, an act that's aser, we don't say, oh, your intention was this or your intention was that. It's aser to do this action. That is correct. I don't think that's what we were saying here. I think here we were saying that
your intention's not pouring. You happen to be doing it. You're not.
Yeah, I have to figure out exactly the precise way to say it in the right way. But that's a good point. Good point.
I was thinking that if it's a rose, it's not pouring. It's really because it's a
Excellent point. You're saying that maybe keys are all keys, and therefore the halachas of borer should not apply. They're all one min. And we just said 3 minutes ago that there's no borer applied by one min. So can I ask you a question? Have you ever had a big cookie?
Yes.
Have you ever had a small cookie?
Yes.
Do they taste the same? Just say yes. Okay. Have you ever had a big key and a small key? Do they accomplish the same goal? That's not usually the case. Usually, different keys have different goals. You remember we talked about big socks and little socks? And Moshe Feinstein says, even though size is not a factor, and if big and small, that's all the same menu. You're allowed to separate things based on size. But big socks and little socks, there, size makes it have a different purpose. My sock and my 2-year-old baby sock, they're both black. They're both Hanes Comfort Tech 100% cotton black socks. Mine is a size 13, and hers is a size negative 11. That's borer. Because they have a different goal. So to the key. The different keys open up different doors. They have different tachlis, different purposes. So even though they look the same, they're the same men, they're all cut from the same, you know, the same guy and the locksmith on the corner, he made every one, they're all the same brand, they're all the same metal. But since they each have a different a purpose, one opens up the front door, one opens up the back door, one opens up the side door, one opens up the bathroom door, so those all have different purposes, and therefore they will be halachically considered as distinct, different minim. So if something's different in color, we talked about that, and we said, Ramosha Feinstein said, that's where we talked about the socks, that color is only significant if it has a different purpose, right? A pink sock will not go with your coral red blouse, but a black sock will, so there's a different purpose between pink and red when it comes, pink and black socks. But a key, I don't think that would make it a different purpose. I don't think key would be different. So if it has, yes, if you're having a special, you know, 24-karat gold key, if that would be the case, then there might be a different purpose. Then that's a different, yeah, I hear that, yeah. Yes, 100%. You could take off a key that you need if it's going to be to use now. If it's to use later, no. Because that's Ocha Mitoch HaPsolas. Open a door. No, that will be Aser. Yeah. We're going to talk about that either later today or tomorrow or next week. Okay, so now coming back to the question that Racheli suggested earlier, let me tell you a story. This is not my story. This is Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi's story in Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalad. And the story goes like this. I cut and pasted only part of it, so I don't remember whose house they were visiting. But Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi's were visiting a certain Amora's house. And they were taken care of, and he wanted to serve them food on Shabbos. So what did he do? Again, I'm sorry, I don't know who we're talking about, but he, whoever that he is, took a basket of fruit, and he threw it in front of them along across the table. He just spilled it across the table. That's the story. Was it a good story? You like my stories? I just read Ariella, my Curious George goes to the hospital. You remember that story? That was a longer one. This is shorter. 53 pages. On a night that I have to give a shiur, no less. Okay. So the Gemara then says, after he threw the fruit on the table in front of his guests, Rabbi Amri and Rabbi Asi, the Gemara says, we don't really know why he did that. Did he do that because he holds that even ochel mitoch psoles would be aser, meaning even if they would want to take the apple that they are looking for, this host holds even that's aser? Not like us. We hold, of course, if you want an apple, take the apple. But maybe the host held that even taking what you want would be aser, so the only way to give them the fruits would be to spill it out so it's not a taroves. Oh, by the way, we saw a point here, that even if you hold that taking something would be aser, if you spill it out, it's not a tarobas, that will make it mutter. Well, that's one reason why he spilled it out. Or the other reason why he spilled it out, the Gemara says, maybe it's just like a way of like, ayin yafa. You want to like bring out the best you want to say, take whatever you want, help yourself. It's like somebody comes to your house and you want to offer them a piece of cake. You don't just cut a piece of cake and give it to them. You take the whole platter of cake and you put it in front of them and you give them the knife, you put it in their hand and you give them a big plate to take as much as they want. Ayin yafa, you want to be generous. You want to give it to them generously, especially if your guests' names are Rav Ami and Rav Asi. So the question of the Gemara was, did this Amora, the host, pour it to be generous? That's why he poured all the fruits in front of them? Or did he pour them because it would be usur to do borer, perhaps, according to him, and by scattering them, that would be a solution? Hold on one second. What do we see from this Gemara? What we see from this Gemara is that when something is a tarovas, and you cannot take one from the other for whatever reason, if you throw them on the table and you scatter them, that makes it mutter. So according to this story, this is what the halacha that Moshe Feinstein says. Keep in mind, there's something interesting here. You are engineering a situation where a taroves becomes a non-taroves. It's not just that it happened to spill out and it's too scattered and it's very scattered, so you're taking what you want. That's, of course, mutter. Here we're saying you're even allowed to do this lechatchila. You're allowed to engineer a situation whereby things are no longer mixed together, where there's no taroves. And, of course, do whatever you want and take whatever you want, even where it would otherwise be prohibited. That's the Chiddush. So, in that tshuva that I told you, where Shirin Eidel asks Rav Moshe Feinstein this list of like 150 questions, one of them was, if you have you take your silverware caddy, that's the word we're using, and you want to sort them, of course, but you can't sort on Shabbos. So could you just throw them across the table so that they'll be scattered? Like this Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Ayin Dalet. And listen to Ramosha's Teretz. Three words. He, Eitzah, Tova. It's a great idea. Go for it. That's Ramosha Feinstein's Kula. And this will also be a solution for toys, a little bit. We were thinking about you, Ophir, I told you. If you have toys that are, let's say, mixed together, so if you don't like having toys, you know, on the floor, but of course you can't just put them away, so if you, I don't know, lift them up and throw them all over the room so that they're not next to one another, they're separate one from the other, that there's no longer a taroves, then you could take each piece and put them wherever you want because there's no taroves, there are no halachas of borer. That would certainly be a solution if you consider that a solution. However, even though Rav Moshe Feinstein said those three words, he, Eitzah, Tova, and it sounds like he has an explicit Gemara to back him up, that the Gemara says he threw it out to separate, the Gemara says perhaps it was to enable the person to take what he needs. Rabbi Yashiv says, no, you didn't understand that Gemara properly. Rabbi Yashiv says, you know why you were allowed to pour that basket of fruits in front of Rav Ami and Rav Asi? It's because that's derech achila. It's while they're eating. It's the way you serve the food. The way you, and that's not the way I serve my food, but that's a way to serve food. If it's as you're serving it, you pour it out in front of them, that's derech achila. That's why, since it's derech achila, you could go ahead and engineer a situation to make it no longer taroves. But to just artificially throw things, scatter things, so that you could separate them afterwards, that's just being a sly, being a, give me another synonym for sly, sinister, deceptive, conniving, halachic person. Sneaky, thank you. Los Angeles comes through, right? Los Angeles? No, Cleveland? Not Teaneck. Riverdale, okay, fine, as long as, okay. It's sort of like Cleveland. They both have a D. So Rabbi Yashiv says that again, this story in the Gemara was only in the process of eating, and this is what you do to enable people, you know, derech achila, and it ended up getting separated. Then, since it's separated, you're allowed to now take what you want. But to engineer something in your sly, sneaky kind of way to make there not be a taroves, that Rabbi Yashiv says is not going to be okay. So what do we have? We have Machlokas, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein against Rabbi Yashiv. We're American. We probably have the right to follow Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and I think it would probably be permitted. to again pour things out such that they're separate. Again, if you just pour things in a pile, that didn't accomplish anything. But if you scatter them across the whole table, that each individual particle, each individual element of your mixture are separate one from another, and they're no longer ma'uruv, that would be okay. Question. Not only that, but you could even pick up what you don't like.
Okay.
Legos, I like Lego. But let's say there's something like...
No one likes Kinects.
Kinects, yeah. I was not just going to say Kinects right now. I'm telling you, I really was. So let's say Kinects, right, even if there's no Tarovis, there's no Halachas of Borer.
Okay.
Correct. And even if it's for later, even if it's not for now, even if you have this special Lego picker-upper machine... Right? Even if it's not Bia, not Mia, you can do whatever you want. It's not a Taravas.
As far as spreading cutlery across the table, I've tried to throw it before.
Your mother didn't like it so much. I don't blame her.
So, in the process of spreading it out, can you take out every single piece and spread it out with your hands?
I don't think so.
Because when you try to dump the basket out, spreading it out, it doesn't work so well. So, just practice doing sneaking.
I guess it was better in the Gemara where there were roly-poly apples and fruit. I guess that's easier. Yeah, I don't think you could take something and throw it, because that's doing an action of separating something. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Gemara only says... Yeah. Oh, now this is your tuna. Right, tuna. Okay, so now you're saying, I could scatter my fruit. Can I scatter my tuna and oil? Right, that's the problem.
Like
you're turning it over, and then it's separating. So you're not like, if you would like, take your tuna can and you know, wherever it lands, and you just pick up the tuna fish, that's definitely fine. There might be some other issues.
Like, what if it's like just tipping over the tuna can and then like adding the seasonings and mayo, mashing that in, and then putting that into a bowl so the liquid's left on that original plate?
So you're just letting the not good stuff ooze out onto the plate, and then afterwards you'll... It's the same, that's a similar thing. So if you could email me to look that up, that's a good question. That would be a good solution. Tuna fish in general, we have to follow up on the tuna fish issue, it's an important issue. Yeah. If it's a key that you want, that's fine. Here we're talking about... Oh, for later. Yeah, oh, very good. Excellent question.
So let's say, so you take that key off, you close your door, you open your door again, you go inside for a second, and you...
Excellent question. Yes, 100%. I think we're going to talk about that later. That's what Moshe Feinstein suggests with Sfarim. Let's say your Sfarim are in a pile, that they're not just neatly arranged on the shelf, one next to the other, next to the other. They're in a pile. They're in a mess. And you want to take the Sefer, let's say, okay, so I have Svarim in my living room, and I have also Svarim in one of my son's bedrooms. So let's say I don't want to go, let's say tomorrow I'm going to wake up at 4:30, not tomorrow, Shabbos morning, I'm going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to learn. Halavai, doesn't happen, I assure you. And I don't want to wake him when I go in. So Friday night, before he goes to sleep, I'm going to go take out a Sefer. I'm going to put it on the dining room table, so it'll be waiting for me Shabbos morning when I want to learn. So, again, let's say I'm going to take it from some pile where it's mixed up, or it's dark, I can't see the letters, it's a taroves. I'm going to take out that saver for later. So that's also, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein says, very simple solution. The whole problem is that it's not for immediate consumption. Well, open up, read a pasuk, read a line, and now it was for immediate consumption. So you're saying if you need a key for later... So you're not allowed to just take out a key, even if it's the one you want, if it's for later. But if you're going to use it right now, that will be okay. The only thing, like, there is a productive use of reading a pasuk, of learning a mishnah, of eating something that you don't really want to eat right now, but you'll eat a little bit also. But opening doors, if you don't need to go where, to the other side of the doorway, I don't know if that's a productive thing. If you want to get some fresh air, and therefore you open the door, you breathe some fresh air, now you feel more refreshed, and you want to come back in, that will be fine. But there has to be some productive purpose to it. Yes, that I didn't give a good example. If you eat a little bit, that doesn't help. No, it doesn't. There's only one book, so I can make the brera of the book mutter because I got hanaf from the book. But if I have 20 pieces of lettuce that I want to check for bugs, and I don't know, that's not a good example. Let's say I wanted to take out all the, let's say I have a mixture of raisins and I have a raisin nut mixture, and I want to just have nuts to serve in my salad, so the salad will be crunchy. So I'm going to take out all the nuts from my raisin nut mixture that I bought at Costco, and just pull out all the nuts. So if I eat two nuts, that's not going to help me, because I did borrow for the rest of the nuts to have nuts crunchy for my crunchy salad for lunch. That's not going to be okay. Yeah. And there's a safer underneath.
It could also be not a safer, but like how would you go about separating that?
So what you'd have to do is you'd have to take whatever you want out, and then you'd have to use the book immediately. You'd have to use it immediately. That's a different series. You'll have to stay tuned for that. Textbooks, even if you are not the type of person who likes to read textbooks or to study for tests on Shabbos, doesn't make the muktzah. Textbooks are not muktzah. Unless it's they're financial, like for business textbooks, maybe.
And you need to get a use out of that book in order to get to the
other. No, if it's covering over what you need to get to that's behind it, that's not considered borer. If the only way to access something is to take, let's say I don't have enough bookshelves, so I have two layers of books. So if I have to take out the book on the outside to reach the book behind it, I don't think that's considered borer. You're taking out the psolis, which you don't need? No, you're just removing the cover, you're removing the peel to get to the fruit inside of it. So you're taking out the book you don't need. So if something's covering over what you do need, because if you're doing la'achar zman, it's not miyad. Even if you want, I'm talking about even if you're taking the ochel mitoch ha'psalos, even if you're just taking the book that you want, but it's for tomorrow morning, and now it's 9 o'clock at night. So I'm not even allowed to take what I want. I'm not even allowed to take ochel mitoch ha'psalos. I'm not even allowed to take the chumash that I'm going to use tomorrow morning to prepare my Shabbos morning drasha. I can't do that Friday night. Because even though it's ochel mitoch ha'psalos, it doesn't fulfill the criteria of miyad. Last question. Last two questions, but I have to finish before 59 minutes. Okay, so if you want to set the table, that's for immediate use, that's fine. The only issue with silverware is if you want to now put them in the drawer, which is not for immediate use. Then you're not allowed to separate them. That is correct, since you're doing it for the purpose of separating it. However, if you would take them out of the silverware caddy so that you could wipe off the water stains, so your intention of taking one at a time, you're only taking one at a time, and you're not looking to see which one you're taking, and your intention is not to sort, but to wash off the water stains, then you will be able to put it in the drawer. And that would be okay. Yeah, last question. I don't know. I don't think they are because they're attached. The pepper seeds are attached, right? Oh, the ones that are left over? Those little ones that are left over. So they're not attached. I'd have to think about that. I haven't seen that in any of the Svarim. We can think about that. Okay. Bezos Hashem next week. Oh, next week is Erev Chanukah. Is the week before Chanukah?
Yeah.
So maybe we should have Hilchas Chanukah next week.
Yeah.